Turn in your Bible, please, to Psalm 118, starting in verse 15 to the end of the psalm.
The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever.
Amen. Thank you. Let's pray. Abba, Father, we ask you now that your Spirit would abide with us while we consider your word, while we consider your mighty deeds and your salvation. Lord, we love you. And we pray, Lord, for your blessing this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. God has given us light, the psalm says. You're used to hearing verse 24 say, "This is the day the Lord has made." It could be translated a little bit differently, and I believe that's how the NIV has it. God has done it this very day. Okay, in other words, this is the day the Lord has done it. Let us rejoice and be glad. Okay, in other words, it's not just any old day on the calendar. This day, he has won us the victory. This day is when the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. This day is when God has become my salvation. This day is when the rejected stone became the chief cornerstone. This day, a choice stone for a sure foundation is laid in Zion, and whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. Let us be glad and rejoice about that. This is the day when death has been robbed, has been rendered toothless, because the sacrifice has been made, the price has been fully paid, death was allowed to do its worst, it was allowed to have its prey. We sang it earlier, death could not keep its prey, it could not keep him, it could not hold him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was delivered to death on account of our sins, and he was raised to life for our justification. Do you recall last week, he presented himself a lamb without blemish for a sin offering, for a trespass offering. Here I am, behold me, in the scrolls of the prophets it is written about me, I have come to do your will. Because offerings and sacrifices you didn't desire, you weren't pleased with hundreds of bulls and goats. Behold, I have come, lowly and riding on a donkey's colt. I have come to do your will. And the justice of God is now satisfied. The indignation of God is appeased. By suffering death, Jesus Christ broke death's power, and so he has set me free from my fear of it. And now my soul can say, bless the Lord, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. Come on, Alex, think. What are all his benefits? Christ is all. He is all sufficient. He secures for the wounded and the weary and the contrite soul every blessing, every blessing, every need that a man can have when it comes to that complicated relationship with God that we have. Okay, we really started off on the wrong foot, didn't we, Lord? Guilty, unclean, foolish, selfish, offensive, ignorant, careless, thoughtless, in debt. Talk about being alienated from God. And yet, how did I treat God? Like a butler, really. I call on him whenever I want something. I don't ask him, what does he want? I've got my list of requests, and when I'm done with him, I just send him away. At some point, I realize how presumptuous I have been in dealing with God. Just I realize how far we have to go to get to friend. And yet the scripture tells me Jesus paid it all. Jesus has made it all right. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives my iniquities. He heals all my maladies. He redeems my soul from destruction. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies my mouth with good things. He defends me when I'm oppressed. He teaches me his ways. He takes pity on me in my weakness. He restoreth my soul. Jesus Christ is everything I need in all circumstances. When I need access to God in prayer, it's through Christ. When I need a friend, there he is. There's Christ. When I need wisdom, I look to Christ. When my conscience accuses me, I take it to Christ. When there's disharmony between me and one of his children, we can go to Christ. When I sin against God, it's graciously borne by Christ. When I'm afraid of God, I think of Christ. When I want to enjoy sweet fellowship with God, it's in Christ. By one perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself, every conceivable need of my heart, of the human heart, is met and satisfied in Jesus Christ. My debt is paid, my offenses are put away, my punishment has been averted, my loneliness is soothed, my terrors are calmed because Christ was delivered over to death for my transgressions, and he was raised up to life for my justification. And now that I have been justified by faith in Christ, I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. His Spirit testifies. Are you listening? His Spirit testifies in my spirit that I am God's son, that I am his son. I am his. He is mine. He is all to me. He gives all to me. Let us, saints, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Now, you might recall me giving you a little exercise to do last Sunday. If you followed my advice, you've perhaps been considering for a few days, what are my debts, my transgressions, my selfishness, my idolatries, my frictions and troubles with my fellow man, my disobedience Okay, not just mankind is sinful. Okay, not just some sort of catch-all, forgive us our debts. No, what are my debts? What are your debts? If you did that, if you took my advice, you probably spent some time in an uncomfortable state, in some discomfort of soul, I would think, because that's what self-examination does. Amen. But do you remember what I said? There's not a bit of harm in putting yourself through that process, even if it does dredge up unpleasant things, even if it does cause sorrow, because the scripture tells us godly sorrow brings the repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Hear that again. Godly sorrow brings the repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Now, this week that has passed, you may have pondered, especially if you went to some church services, if you pondered the why of the crucifixion of Christ, of the suffering and the death, pondered the magnitude and the multitude of sins that put Christ on that cross, you might have undergone some troubling thoughts, some feelings of shame, okay, maybe a sense of unworthiness, maybe even a sense of danger. Because the scripture does say the wrath of God is going to be revealed against all the ungodliness and the wickedness of men. And men includes me. And I'm aware of my guilt. And when I really think about it, a cloud of uncertainty, a cloud of impending doom hangs over me. Because when I look back at my life and my history, although I know God, I know of God, I, like other men, have not properly glorified him as God. I've not been properly thankful to him as a gracious father, as he deserves. My foolish heart goes astray. I serve my own needs. I give myself first place. And in my ignorance, I've done a list as long as my arm of things that ought not to be done. Greed, anger, depravity, lust, envy, fighting, quarreling, selfishness, slander, lies, cursing, bitterness. What's on your list? Pride, self-confidence. Okay, I can see other people's sins crystal clear, right? And I can judge them. Do I dare think that I am going to escape the indignation of God? Let me open up my ears and hear God's charge to me through the prophets. Repent. He calls me to repentance because the day is coming when God is going to judge the secrets of men. He is going to settle every score. So let me stop piling up wrath against myself by continuing on in my stubborn ways. And especially so if I have spent many years in church, in an atmosphere of truth, with open Bible, and I hear about God's holiness, and I hear about his righteousness. What excuse have I got? I know his rules, but I break them anyway. Do I really think God is going to look the other way? Do I really think that God is not going to hold me even more responsible than the ignorant pagan for bringing shame to his name? Now, this last week, when you saw Christ crucified, every mouth ought to have been stopped. Every heart ought to have been convinced of its guilt and accountability before God. Not one of us, not one, should have concluded that we are righteous, that by our keeping God's law in some partial degree, that we can find acceptance. All have sinned. Amen. All fall short. Yeah. It's through reflection on God's word that we become conscious of sin. Okay, the Bible says our sinful passions are exposed by the word of God. Did you reflect at all on the Word of God these last 7 days? The Scripture says that God delays his judgment for just such a reason, just such a purpose, so that we can reflect. It says his long suffering encourages us to repentance. Okay, you've had 7 more days. I hope you did as I suggested, because it makes victory in Jesus a victory indeed. He was delivered up for our transgressions, and he was raised for our justification. And I tell you, that is good news. We are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption means he bought us with his life. He bought us out of our condition at the cost of his life. Remember, he presented himself as the sacrificial victim for our atonement, laid his life down as the ransom payment for our trespasses. Okay, we pray it. Forgive us our trespasses. Not us, me, my trespasses. Let me lay hold of Christ, my Redeemer, my ransom payer, and all sufficient ransom. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Where is justice? What happens to justice? What about the punishment? It's been served. Can I ever receive mercy? Can mercy ever come to me? Yes, it can. In the cross of Jesus Christ, justice and mercy have kissed, the Scripture says. Now to you, my friends, my Christian friends, who believe and know that God raised Christ from the dead, who own him as your king, bless the Lord. Forget not all his benefits. A clean record. What a benefit. God's free gift, the gift of righteousness, that through the obedience of one man, many are made righteous. Made righteous. Release from condemnation. Romans says the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Peace with God. Can it be peace with God, as Abraham was called, the friend of God? Access to God. Did you want that? Access to God. Power for your daily life. Okay, the energetic, operating presence of the Holy Spirit living within your heart to help you in your weaknesses. Strength to resist the devil and against the sinful passions of the flesh. These are his benefits. Wisdom to see the world as it really is, to see spiritual truth as it really is. A new heart that loves righteousness and hates wickedness. These are the benefits that God gives us. We have an intercessor. We have a friend. Christ, even right now, is at the right hand of God. Christ, who died and moreover who was raised, is at the right hand of God right now making intercession for us. We have a hope that does not disappoint. A hope sufficient to sustain us through hardships. We have love like no other love. He loved you before you were reconciled to him. How much more now? How much more now, having been reconciled? We have assurance. Whenever we're in doubt, God assures us. Christ died for the ungodly. God justifies the ungodly. And so that includes me. I'm assured. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every need of the human heart, every sore place, every sick place, every empty place of the human heart, healed, touched, renewed by Jesus Christ, he has given us an abundant provision of grace. Okay, saints, this exercise I had you go through over the last few days, it was in the hopes that, to use a phrase from Scripture, that the trespass might increase. Okay, the Bible says that the law was added so that the trespass might increase, so that people become conscious of their sins. They become aware of your weaknesses and your offenses and your trespasses. And I truly hope that you did, and if you didn't, well, there's always this week, okay? I hope that you drag out and confront things that have been buried, because the scripture says, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Do you hear what I'm saying? As you search yourself and as you confront your sins and as you own up to them and confess them and you feel the danger of sins, it becomes almost an ominous, overwhelming, giant monster. It becomes a weight that threatens to drag you down to the bottom of the sea and drown you. That's when grace is seen in all of its majesty and its tremendous, wondrous power. Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that as sin exercised its power in death, sin reigned in death so that grace might reign now through righteousness to bring us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace increased all the more. Grace increased all the more. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare his son for us. He delivered him over to death for us all. He raised him up from the dead for our justification. How will he not also, along with his son, give us everything, all things? The strife is over. The battle is done. The song of the victory of life is won. The song of triumph has begun. The powers of death have done their worst, but Christ their legions hath dispersed. Let shouts of holy joy outburst. The three sad days have quickly sped. He rises glorious from the dead. All glory to our risen head. Hallelujah. Christ has won the victory. Christians, let's go on to victory. Since Jesus is ours, and with him all things are ours, let's answer the call. We are being called to something. We are being called to a risen life, a life without sin. Understand, we receive the gift of grace for a purpose. God has an objective in doing all of this. It is that we should be freed from sin and no longer be under its power. We're talking about the power of God in a life, in a human life like yours, like mine, overcoming power to walk in the light. Okay, the psalm said, God has given us light. Romans says, count yourselves now dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We're told to not let sin reign in our mortal bodies, to not obey the desires of the flesh any longer, but to offer ourselves as men and women who have been brought out of death into life. That is what the Lord has done this very day. He has brought us out of death into life. It is marvelous in our eyes. It is a marvel. So the scripture says, brothers, we have an obligation now. We have an obligation not to live according to the flesh any longer, but to live according to the Spirit. If you keep living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. Romans chapter 8. God has given us light. If you are still covering up your sins in the darkness, what are you waiting for? Why are you hiding from God? Christ is all sufficient. The Bible says, whoever trusts in him will never be ashamed. If you don't trust him yet, why not? What are you waiting for? Those of you who trust in Christ, you can say, thanks be to God, though I once was a slave to sin. I wholeheartedly obeyed that form of teaching to which I was delivered, and I have been set free from sin, and I have become a servant of righteousness. Lay hold of the eternal life which Christ died and rose again to deliver to you. Confess your sins honestly. Repent earnestly. Receive the cleansing from the fountain that will never run dry. Amen. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, is able to present you holy and blameless in his presence. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the judge of all the world. He is the good shepherd. He is the best friend a man ever had. Let the voice of rejoicing and salvation resound in the tents of the righteous. For the right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. The hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord has done valiantly. I shall not die, but I will live. And I will declare the works of the Lord. Yes, the Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Now open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, what can we say more? You have done it. This very day, we rejoice in the empty tomb. We rejoice in the gospel of eternal life in Jesus Christ. We sing your praises. We ask you, Father, to come and dwell in our hearts by faith. We celebrate the clean record. We dress ourselves in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We look ahead to the consummation and the joy of being in your presence forevermore. Let us go through the gates of righteousness. Let us enter. Let us sing. Let us give thanks to our God and to his Son, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus, and for your sake. Amen. Amen. Amen.